The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
My next guest is a mother of two young children. She lives in Dungarvan in County Waterford. And a few months ago, she was so shocked by the devastation caused by a powerful cyclone in the Philippines that she hatched an ambitious plan. Audrey Hallahan, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm great, thank you, Audrey. And as I said, you hatched an ambitious plan. And it was last November that you saw things that you just prompted you to act.
Yeah. To be honest, after the images that appeared on television after the typhoon struck the Philippine Islands, I was just shocked. I mean, I'm sure you saw them yourself.
Sure.
It was just complete, utter devastation, like, you know, and just felt powerless, yes, and helpless, but compelled into wanting to do something, but not sure exactly what to do. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, there were various charities on board, and, you know, you could donate money to the various, the Red Cross, et cetera, et cetera. Not long after it happened, then all the issues surrounding charities and money and et cetera, started coming to light, you know, unfortunately. So I just thought, like, you know, coming up to Christmas and things like that, I said, you know, people are really caught for money and things like that. So I just thought, what about a container?
Yeah.
Initially, there was the idea of a concert, but again, that's asking people for money. And it just, we had done a concert the week before for something else. And so it just came to mind, I wonder, like, if people had stuff in their homes, you know, after the summer we had, it's their summer now, kind of. You know, we'll see how it goes, you know. And it was just like that, a thought, like, you know.
Yeah, and you were thinking big.
Very big.
Yes, and tell us what you learnt then about sending a container load to the Philippines.
Oh, an awful lot. It's not as easy. While the thought is ideal and it's lovely, it's not as easy to execute it as originally thought. I suppose the biggest part was the bureaucracy involved, which required legal documentation to be drawn up by solicitors, to be authenticated by the Department of Foreign Affairs, and then sent to the consulate, the Philippine consulate in London, for their seal and approval. So I kind of learned that kind of later on in the journey, if you know what I mean. I wasn't really quite aware that needed to be done. I honestly, in being naive, I just thought, look, we just get a shipping company, send it out, they can collect it, happy days. You know, that's how simple it was in my head, you know. But
sure. And what about the cost? When did you establish how much this would cost, Audrey?
Well, Googling it, you know, when I said it to my fellow co-workers here, you know, what about a container? I'm sure people have. So I literally Googled it, put it in, cost of, you know, container to the Philippines, and Googled it, and it came up 34,000. Now, I just hit the first one that I came. I'm sure if I went into it, I probably would. But 34,000, mother of God. I just couldn't believe it. Like, I said to Helen here, I said, 34,000? Where in the name of God are we going to get 34,000, you know, to send, more than what would be inside in the container, like, you know.
Sure.
But anyway, what transpired was I contacted a few of the aid agencies, and Gorta, I was chatting to a lovely fella there in Gorta, and he said, like, you know, that they didn't do kind of relief aid, but he thought if I got onto the Department of Foreign Affairs, like, and possibly the charity section of it, you know, that they would set me straight. And so I kind of did that. They said that there might be a cargo. He felt that there was a cargo going out, cargo ship. So I imagined this ship going out from the Dublin port and being able to send up a container of stuff and going off. But it transpired that what the Irish government have are actually pockets of aid around various different countries near where disasters strike. And so they just released that aid from the countries that are nearest to it, that there was no cargo ship going out, you know.
Sure.
That's what I thought. But so with the connections here in the pharmaceutical industry, I contacted GlaxoSmithKline, and I got through to one of the lads out there and asked them about the containers that they use for shipping, you know, their products and that, and had they a shipping company's name. And that's when Siva Logistics in Cork came up, and I spoke to a lovely lady there, Mary Duggan, who was able to kind of let me know, yes, we've never done something like this before, but I'll look into it and I'll get you a cost and that. She came back and said the cost was roughly about 1,700 exclusive of VAT.
So you were delighted to hear that,
having gone from 31st.
Yes. So what did you do then, Audrey? Well, having established that you could send a container load to the Philippines, what was next?
What was next then on the list, it kind of targeted community groups through the community forum. So I sent an email to the community forum, which then sent on emails to all the community groups in the Waterford Daisha area, and then sent letters out to all schools, to the radio, and within a couple of days, WLR, our local radio here, contacted me and brought me on air, and that's when the Daisha Philippines appeal was kind of launched, per se, because I had contacted them. I had made contact with the Focalari group in Cebu, and they gave me the top 10 items, considering the length of time this container would take to go, which was anything from 4 to 6 weeks. They gave me their top 10 kind of items that they would need.
And what were they?
So they were like items like non-perishable food, bath soap, laundry soap, towels, bed linen, children's toys, sweets, candies for the children, door locks and door handles, because they were hoping to start a rebuilding project for them, because, I mean, there's years and years of rebuilding there yet. You know, they're going to be rebuilding their lives for a long time.
Sure, and Audrey, you quickly established that there was enough for not just one container, but two containers.
Yeah, I mean, initially my hope was, I thought, will I just send a 20-foot container? But as things, when that took off, we thought, like, there'd be one or two people, you know, one or two schools get on board. Before the end of this appeal, there was anything between 15 to 20 schools collecting, and they all picked one item, maybe one class picked an item and gathered that, you know, and each class took one item from the list. And then there were something like 20 to 25 community groups, and there were collection points all over Waterford. There were pharmaceutical companies like AccuScience, PharMed, PCO, Pinewood, who sent pallet loads of stuff down to us. I had secured a container, a 20-foot container, storage container from Tom Maloney in the Blue Storage out the Coola Road, and that was filled within three collections. I nearly died. I didn't know where to go next.
If that wasn't enough, as you dealt with the red tape, also discovered there were certain rules and guidelines in the Philippines about sending clothes.
Yeah, in early December. And, like, I didn't disclose it, you know, because I wanted to handle it on the ground. Like, you know, I didn't disclose it to the public because I believed I could find a way around it. The shipping company sent back an email. We were all ready to go for the 16th of December. And the shipping company sent a note to Siva Logistics, who sent it on to me, to say that in trading regulations, used clothing was not allowed. Now, if you saw what I had here in used clothing, I had easily like 3/4 of a 40-foot container, of clothes. And I thought, oh, my God of Almighty, how am I going to come around it? So I went on to, I logged on to the regulations of the Bureaus of Customs and saw that under normal trading conditions, yes, used clothing were not allowed for health reasons, and also to protect, I suppose, the clothing textile industry that they would have there as well. So I wrote to the commissioner and I wrote to several people, Department of Social Welfare, and that, pleading with them for an exemption based on, you know, considering the calamity that hit their country and people left with nothing, absolutely nothing, would they not just, you know, allow this through, that they were perfectly clean. I guaranteed that I would go through every bag and make sure only the best was sent, like, you know, and literally everything that people gave, they emptied their hearts and homes. They gave the best of everything and out it went. So I didn't hear from them. They said no, they couldn't do it and whatever. So I just prayed, to be honest, John.
And your prayers were answered.
Oh, listen, on the 18th, I'll never forget it, on the 18th of December, I kind of hadn't heard back from anyone, and I just touched base with this one woman over in the Philippines, in Manila Island, and I said, please, how can I turn around to the thousands of people who have donated and openly, you know, shown compassion and love to your people and, you know, say, sorry, but clothes aren't allowed. So On the 19th, it was my cousin's, my dear cousin Kevin Fox's anniversary, first anniversary, and I was woken to the sound of an email coming in at 7 o'clock in the morning of his anniversary to say, from this lady over in the Department of Social Welfare and Development, that considering, you know, they were so grateful for the help that we were giving, and considering, you know, the devastation that it has caused, that they would accept.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God. I just cried with delight, John. I can't tell you.
And Audrey, that gave you the all clear. And tell us something about the journey then of the two containers.
Yeah, the two containers. So on the 6th of January, you know, we had loads of volunteers. My God, people, the Dish people were just fantastic. Like, they gave either of their time, their money, the various, you know, the, everything. So on the 6th of January, we'd organised from the men's shed, the MACRA, the schools, everyone came out to the industrial estate where everything was packed into the Christmas light storage unit. We had to get out by that day because the Christmas lights were coming down.
I see.
So it was kind of constant pressure, like, you know. But at the same time, yeah. Go on.
No, Audrey. I'm just wondering how long the actual journey took then.
It went on the 6th of January. It was due to arrive kind of 4 to 6 weeks later, but due to weather conditions, as you know, we experienced here, it delayed it by a month. So it arrived in the port of Cebu on the 14th of March.
And what has the reaction been to the delivery?
Oh my God, overwhelming, really. The Filipinos who have unloaded this, like I said, they just can't believe that this, you know, this container was travelling for 2 months. It came from the other side of the world with so much stuff for them, like, you know, with so much aid and relief. It's thousands it's going to help, like.
I know, and it sounds great. And just to think that it was your individual initiative, you took this upon yourself, and the just do it attitude that you took on, and that has meant so much to the people in the Philippines.
Well, do you know what? Like, I mean, if you can't help them, you don't harm them. But, like, it was the greatest privilege for me to work with the people. Everyone here, everyone on board, everyone gave so much, such compassion and love that was shown. It just, like, restored my faith in humanity, like, you know. And I mean, honest to God, you know, mankind cannot exist without love and compassion.
Well,
and
Audrey, I'm sure I share the view is shared by all the people listening this morning. Congratulations on this wonderful initiative,
John.
And I presume you'll hatch another plan soon for some other part of the world. But Audrey Hallahan, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and take care of yourself. That's Audrey Hallahan there in Dungarvan in County Waterford. That's all we have time for today. On sound, Damien Chanel. Our producer was Sheila O'Callaghan, and our researcher, John Riley. Sean is up next. We're back in the morning at 9. Till then, Sláán.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. Peace of mind as standard. Quality guaranteed. Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.